Lord Jesus, Cleopas and his companion were left with their hearts burning when you explained through the scriptures who you are and why you came. Would you send your Holy Spirit upon us now as we learn from your word and think afresh and wonder afresh as to who Jesus is, what he has done for us, and what he's calling us to do, that we would be filled with his love, his compassion, equipped by his Spirit and your word to go into the world to share that love with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what a fantastic passage Luke 24 is. And I was thinking about this journey on a road. If you think about it, how many times and how many songs have been written about life being like a metaphor of a journey and a road? And as we think about the Emmaus Road today, this small 7-mile journey away from Jerusalem, so much happens on this short distance to the lives of Cleopas and his companion. And I was thinking about songs, you know, even in modern day culture, that use and work with metaphors about life being like a journey. See if you can recognize this one. Every day is a winding road, I get a little bit closer. Every day is a fading sign, I get a little bit closer, feeling fine. He's got a daughter called Easter. She was born on a Tuesday night. I'm just wondering why I feel so alone, why I'm a stranger in my own life. Anyone recognize that song? Sheryl Crow in 1996, which became a big, big hit. What about this one? How many roads must a man walk down before you can call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Recognize that one? Bob Dylan, right? Yeah. Well, the answer isn't blowing in the wind. It's found in Scripture, and it's found in the Lord Jesus. That's the great news that we have at Easter. But nevertheless, this metaphor of walking through life and that being like a journey. So I wonder, and I want to challenge you this morning, where are you on that journey? Are you at the very beginning? Is this all very new to you? Is Jesus a bit of a kind of a mystery? Is he something you've heard of, maybe on the street somewhere or with friends? Or maybe you've been following Jesus on this journey for a long time and everything is going well. Perhaps it's been so long that maybe you're coming to church out of tradition or just because it's what you do. Where are you on your journey of faith this morning? Well, this story today in the Emmaus Road has a lot to teach us about our journey of faith. So let's look at what this passage says for us. So look at verse 13. These two are on Easter day, walking the short distance, 7 miles from Jerusalem, northwest to Emmaus. It says there, verse 13, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And these two characters are talking to each other about everything that had happened. Cast your mind back. Only a week ago, Hosanna to the King of David. People waving their palms and shouting and celebrating because they thought that the Messiah had come. Perhaps the echo of those crowds, Hosanna to the Son of David, were ringing in their ears still. Only 7 days passed. And then 3 days ago, those cries going from Hosanna, turning to crucify as Jesus hung there on the cross on Good Friday. What could it possibly mean? And then even in the morning, some women had gone to the tomb. It was empty. The other disciples hadn't seen Jesus. What was going on? Hosanna to the Son of David. Crucify. He is risen. What a perplexing situation they find themselves in. No wonder they're talking about it on this journey. Let's keep going. Then Jesus comes alongside them, verse 16. But they were kept from recognizing him. We don't really know how they were kept from recognizing. Maybe it was a supernatural kind of disguising. Perhaps they just weren't expecting it. I mean, dead people don't rise from the dead and go for you for a nice Sunday walk, do they? We don't really know. But either way, they were kept from recognizing him. And then verse 17. The characters are downcast. It tells us a bit later in verse 21, because they'd hoped that Jesus was going to be the Messiah. Those Hosanna to the King of David on Palm Sunday, there, that expectation of Jesus being the Messiah. But then all coming to a crashing end with the cross, seemingly, Jesus crucified. No wonder they were downcast. Was this it? So Cleopas and his companion, some people think that might be his wife. Again, we don't really know, but a close friend. They're walking with all these questions in their mind. What an amazing journey. 7 miles walking with all of those questions in your hearts and minds. With the risen Lord Jesus right by your side, and without even realizing it. What an amazing journey. So how are we to make sense of that passage? Well, to interpret this passage, it's worth noting that the Emmaus Road story only appears in Luke's Gospel. It doesn't appear in the other three Gospels. And typical of Luke, it's a story about ordinary people engaging with an extraordinary God. Ordinary people engaging with an extraordinary God. Cleopas and his companion, just two people walking, perhaps back home, trying to make sense of recent events. And Luke seems to relish this dynamic, doesn't he, of ordinary people meeting with an extraordinary God. Think about the Christmas story. Luke's not interested in kings. He's interested in the shepherds, just ordinary people. Luke is very much the people's gospel, if you like. And we know that Luke was a doctor or a healer or a physician. And the narratives of his gospel reflect this quality of his, this gifting. And the stories throughout Luke lay out very clearly for us this basic human need that every human being has, a universal need common to all of humanity. And that need is a need for a Saviour. And that need can only be met in the Lord Jesus. We can see Luke highlighting Jesus meeting the needs of Cleopas and his companion through the Word. Jesus, the Word. And this Word has kind of three facets to it that we're going to look at this morning. First of all, that Jesus is the Word on the street. What do I mean by that? Well, listen to the story here. Verse 14. Cleopas and his companion were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there these last days?" Jesus' work, his ministry, has caused a stir, not least in Jerusalem, but the whole surrounding areas. Who is this man? Was he the Messiah? Was he the one who was going to come and restore Israel? Is this the longing, the Messiah that everyone was longing for? Rumors about Jesus bubbling around the streets of Jerusalem. Who was he? What was he going to do? They had seen something in Jesus. And so much so that Jesus had provoked in them in recent weeks some very deep philosophical questions. Look at verse 19. They say, "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people." You can feel them wrestling with these events. Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter Day. Who was it? What was going on? Verse 21, we'd hoped that he was the one. Jesus is the word on the street, the talk of the town in Jerusalem. This same Jesus was betrayed by the leaders of that country, the chief priests, and handed over to be sentenced to death. Was he the one? Was he not the one? The word on the street was that Jesus was the hope, the miracles, the healings, all of those teachings that they would have witnessed. And then this hope being prolonged by the rumors of the morning. It says, doesn't it, verse 22, "In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. Wow. Was he dead? Was he alive? What was going on? They didn't know. But then Luke shows us that Jesus, that the word bubbling around in the streets, all these different rumors going around, that Jesus begins to meet some of the answers, some of the questions they were asking. Look at verse 25. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" He's saying, yes, you're so close. The word on the street is true. Jesus is the Messiah. And then he begins to meet their need more fully, explaining from the word of God itself. Jesus was the word on the street. Now he is the word of God in the flesh, walking alongside them. Whoops, we've gone off the end there. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained all about himself through the word of God. Cleopas and his companions would have known Jesus before his death. He would have been part of the close circle of the disciples. We know that because it says in verse 16 that they were kept from recognizing him. But also they've got intimate knowledge, haven't they, about the people visiting the tomb that very morning. So they would have heard Jesus' teaching on his earthly ministry, perhaps for the 3 years that he was teaching. And they would have heard this, either firsthand or secondhand. In Luke 18, Jesus says, verse 31, "Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, 'We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day he will rise again.' The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about." We flip back to our passage today, verse 21 of chapter 24. They've noticed, look, we'd hoped that he was the one going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. Some of the resonances of Jesus' teaching ringing in their ears again. Cleopas and his companion would have known their scriptures, at very least Jesus' teaching in the scriptures, as we've seen. And that's why they get rebuked here in verse 25. "How foolish you are," says Jesus, "and slow of heart to believe." They knew about Jesus, but they didn't recognize who he really was. But then Jesus goes further, meeting their need, their misunderstanding, by painstakingly going through all of the scriptures, testifying to him and his works in verse 27 there, as we saw. But Jesus doesn't leave it there, does he? This isn't just a Bible study to learn more about the Bible. No, this amazing Bible study, I'd have loved to have been there, goes so much deeper. See, Jesus goes further to meet their needs by showing them not only through the word of God that he is truly the Son of God and the Savior of the world, but that he is the living word. He is the written word and the living word. Look at verse 29. Jesus was going further, but they urged him to stay. So he went to stay with them. They urged him to stay. Jesus had clearly ignited something in that Bible study as he was elucidating the scriptures about himself to them. They wanted him to stay. It was late, we were told. And then they broke bread together and finally they recognized him. And they reflect back on what he had shared. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" What a great passage. "Were not our hearts burning within us while he opened the scriptures to us?" Reading the scripture is far more than just reading about Jesus. In God's word, God's written word, we meet the living word. We meet the risen Lord Jesus who dwells and lives and breathes on every page of scripture. I wonder, do your Bible studies reflect that reality? I'm challenged because I know that mine don't always. But how wonderful it is, isn't it, when we discover Christ in the written word, the living word in the written word. No wonder this was amazing. They had met with Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus. And we can do the same by reading his written word. But think, why were their hearts burning? It's not just because it was an amazing Bible study, was it? I like to think it was partly because they were beginning to understand the height, breadth, width, and depth of Christ's love on the cross. We've had 2,000 years of worship and reflection and reading to be able to think about the wonders of the cross. These guys have had a few hours, but think about it. Here's the risen Lord Jesus. They're recognizing him now. What did the cross mean? Well, they would have been aware of the depravity of their own sin, because Christ died for them on the cross to pay the price for that sin. Aware of the bad things in their lives and just what need they really did have, or as Luke would diagnose, that need we all have to be forgiven, to be washed clean of our sin, each one of us polluted way more than we perhaps like to admit. The situation is, the universal human need is that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we should be utterly ashamed. But it's when we realize the gravity of sin, the consequences of sin, the depth of our sin, the full implications of sin, that we begin to understand the passion of Christ. That God's love in Jesus comes to us in the cross to pay the price for all of that sin. Hanging there on the cross on Good Friday, which in their minds was just a few hours ago, bleeding, dying, suffering, because God loves us so much, they didn't want that sin to have the final word. That's why Christ came, because God loves us, and to sort out the issue of sin once and for all. I wonder, do you know if that's true for yourself in your own heart today? The passion of Christ, paying the price for every sin. Yes, this is grace, but grace isn't cheap. This was a great cost of God, giving up his only son to die on the cross for our sins. See, when we realize the full gravity and depravity of our sin, the desperate need we all have, then we can begin to understand the passion of God coming in Christ to save us from that sin. And then, having understood what Christ has done for us, the wonder of our salvation. You see, if you minimize sin, you minimize the passion of Christ, and you minimize the wonder of our salvation. But if you see sin for what it is, what it's done to the world, what it's done to us, what it's done in our relationships, what it does everywhere, for what it truly is, and acknowledge it for what it truly is, that's what truth is. Then we begin to understand the majesty of what Christ has done for us on the cross and the wonder of the salvation won for us. Sin matters, but Christ has dealt with sin. And so the deepest need for all of us, universally over the globe, is to be washed clean of our sin. And Luke wants us to understand that that need is met by a wonderful Saviour and his passion on the cross. But notice, too, the living word inspires them so much that they go and spread the word. Verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. They'd understood their sin, they'd understood the wonder of the cross, and they've understood the joy of salvation. What do? They have to go and tell people about it. They go and spread the word. They've met with God in the written word, they've met the living word in the written word, and now they're going out to spread the word. How amazing. See, understanding what God has done for us on the cross in Christ leads to sharing. So a challenge to myself and to you, if we're not sharing, have we understood? So now the final word. Every day is a winding road. I get a little bit closer. Every day is a fading sign. I get a little bit closer, feeling fine. He's got a daughter called Easter. She was born on a Tuesday night. I'm just wondering why I feel so alone, why I'm a stranger in my own life. Where are you in your journey of faith? Does it make sense? Does Jesus make sense? Is Jesus just a rumour out on the street? But if that's you this morning and this is all very new, then come along to Alpha on the 25th of May. Come and discover more. This is too important to leave it being a rumour out on the street. Come and find out for yourself. Getting a little bit closer, feeling fine, only happens when you're walking with Jesus. Perhaps you want to go a little bit deeper into the Word of God. Well, we have a Bible study that meets here on Monday nights that are so passionate about getting into God's Word and discovering more about Jesus. So if your Bible studies have got dull, boring, and irrelevant, why not come along and join the people that meet? Some of them are here today. Come and ask me about it. Discover afresh the glories of the written Word. But remember today's passage. Don't leave it there. This isn't knowing about Jesus. This is knowing Jesus personally in your heart. Come and discover the living Word. Meet with the living Word. Maybe you've been on this journey for a while and you're longing for God to meet you afresh in His Word, to come alive again, to remind you of what He's done. I've not had time today to notice about breaking bread, but it's interesting to note that the earliest Christian communities did two things in their worship. One was to break bread and one was to study the Word together. And that's how we keep our relationship with Christ alive and continuing. By coming to communion, by studying God's Word together, the earliest elements of Christian worship. So keep coming, keep allowing Jesus to meet you in worship, in the sharing of bread, and in the study of His Word. And then finally, if you've really understood what Jesus has done for you, then be passionate about getting out there, spread the Word, and take it back to the street. Let's pray. Risen Lord Jesus, would you come and burn in our hearts afresh? Come alive in our hearts afresh again. And Lord, we are sorry for our sin. But we thank you for the passion you showed for us on the cross, the great love you showed to pay the price for that sin. Lord, help us never to take that for granted, but to marvel afresh this Easter season at the wonder of the salvation won for us through your death on the cross. Father, help us to understand that more and more fully day by day, through reading your Word, through worshipping together. Lord, that we would understand to a point that we would go and share that wonderful news with others. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.